About 200 years in USA, people was moving from the east to the west. Right, they went by wagon, right, horse wagon to the western country, western part of the country. And later, they progressed, and they were real. The railroad came about, and so there were a lot of people became rich, especially those railroad owner became very, very rich. But after the rail, the train, then came the other transportation like motorbikes, a car, aeroplane. These are other means of transportation. Unfortunately, those rich railway owners don't really understand the reasons for them being in the railway or train business. They thought, well, they are only to do business with the railway. But in actual fact, they were in the transportation business. And because they don't understand the business is transportation, they are stuck with just doing railway. When new transportation comes about, road, car, bike, airplane, they couldn't embrace it. Because that's not railway. There's no rail. So they don't want it. And they collapse. It's the same like in Singapore when Yeo Hap Seng Company came about with those packet drinks. Many companies couldn't adopt this new way of packaging soft drink. They thought to them they are in the bottling business, not refreshing business. And those companies collapsed. That's Sunoco, A1, Orange Juice, even F&N lag behind in the business of providing soft drinks. Because they didn't realize their business is in a refreshing business to refresh people with soft drinks. So packaging is not important. The business is not about bottling. It's about providing drinks. In a way, the reason why I explain this to you, to share with this video is to explain to us that we must understand what are we in as Christians. What kind of, call it business that we are in. What kind of responsibility God has given to us. What are we trying to do as a Christian community, as a church? That we are not just, we are here not to just be involved in Sunday school. Some churches say, well, I'm good at Bible study. That we are only in a Bible study kind of ministry. Or we are a praying church, we are in a praying meeting, we are a family church. We are in a family kind of ministry. Now I believe if we concentrate on this, we may miss what is actual ministry of the church. Which to me, as we have gone through the last few weeks, is in a disciple-making ministry. We are here to make disciples in various ways. As long as ministry involved with making disciples, that's where we are in. Producing disciples of Jesus Christ. That we are in basically a disciple, making a discipling ministry. So discipleship is what we are called to do to the glory of Jesus Christ. So that through discipleship, redemptive journey, we call it a redemptive journey of discipleship. That we will raise each one of us up to become more devoted to Jesus Christ, to become involved in the ministry that Jesus Christ gave to us. And what we can see, this is the overarching ministry that we have as a church. That this is what everything we will do is to lead us towards maturing each one of us in Jesus Christ. But unfortunately, sometimes a lot of churches don't realize this is the main thing that main ministry we have to do. And we neglected this main ministry of the church. Sometimes we can call it, we are in the business of changing lives for Jesus Christ. That's another way of putting it. Alright? And that's very important to me. I always very glad, or in a sense, very proud of the fact that I'm in the business of changing lives, of saving lives. Because in my secular world, that's what I do. That's the kind of business I was in. I was in the manufacturing of kidney dialysis, producing dialysis for kidney patients. And the company logo was, we are business of changing lives, saving lives. And when I hear that, this is, in the secular world, I'm saving lives. In a church, that's my response, saving lives, transforming lives. And discipleship is one of the responsibility, the key responsibility of each one of us. Unfortunately, it's neglected. We are not really in it. That, even though it's so important, why is it neglected? That's the main topic for today. To try to understand why, even though it is the key main ministry of the church, yet it is neglected. It is not really the main emphasis of the churches, even our church. All right? And sometimes that we give reasons. These may be a misplaced reason that we don't have time, lack of time. We are not doing because it's neglected because we really don't have time for it. All right? We couldn't find the time to do it. We are so preoccupied with other things. Then we neglect it. Oh, no desire, no passion. Right? We don't have enough passion. Oh, we don't know how. This may be a very important reason because we ourselves have not gone through it. So we don't know how to do it. So these are three main reasons people always, we always hear it. We always hear these three main reasons. But through the studies, through the seminar that I've gone through, all right, and basically from Reverend Edmund Chan from Free Evangelical Covenant Free Evangelical Church, he came up with other, the main. We feel that this is not the key reason; that there are other main reasons. And I want to share with you what he shared, all right, from his book. So, the main reason according to him is lack of intentionality, that you are not focused, right, on it. Because it's not our priority. The problem is it's not our priority. Somehow we don't see this as the main priority, key ministry of the church. Now, this is not the main thing that God wants me to do. It's not priority. As long as something is not priority, then it becomes secondary. Usually, if it's priority, we will definitely do it. But I believe it's in us, as a church, as an individual, this is not key to our life experience. This is not important. Not the most important. The reason why it's not most important because is not the most valuable. If something is of great value, I'm sure you will take a lot of focus, put a lot of attention, you'll do all you can to secure it and preserve it. Right? And it will become a priority. It's not a priority because it's not our highest value. You put it on highest value, it becomes a priority. In any areas of life, right, your study is of most important, that becomes priority. And that's what you concentrate your life on. Right? If you are now in a relationship, your priority is to please your girlfriend, you want to spend most time with your girlfriend, most important, that becomes your priority. Your girlfriend calls you, immediately you go. Your boyfriend calls you, immediately you go. Right? You pay attention because it's priority, because it's most valuable, all right? And that's how we make choices in life. In fact, you think like, this is basically the way we make choices, right? If most valuable become priority, once it's priority, this is the choice we will make. And somehow, because discipleship is not priority, therefore our choice is not to choose that one as most important, the things we will do. Because choice is dictated by priorities. Priority depends on the value you put on those things. It's that Paul says, one thing I'll do in Philippians chapter 3. Right? One thing that he had priority, that is to know Christ and make him known. That's his focus. So he became a part. Because it's most valuable to him, relationship with Jesus Christ. And become his priority of life. And he was willing to go through a lot of suffering. Because that's his priority, that becomes his choice. That is most valuable, relationship with Jesus Christ. So I believe this is one of the reasons why we are not putting effort, but intentionally go and do it, discipleship, involved with discipleship, because of this part, not the priority. At the same time, it's difficult. You have to recognize it's difficult. And we want to live within the comfort zone. But discipleship is very difficult. Because sometimes we are discipling someone, that someone may not respond the way you want him to respond, and you struggle. And it's not that easy to do it. I think secondly, because there is no model, you cannot see someone who is doing it and that you can use that as a benchmark on someone. See, evangelism is it. Evangelism, we talk a lot. Whenever someone will evangelize, we come back, we get testimony, or somebody comes to know Jesus Christ. But how many times do you hear of people coming forward to testify about how effective his discipleship process is going on? Usually testimony about evangelism. Very hardly hear of testimony on discipleship or discipleship process. So even though that is going on, we don't talk about it, so we don't realize, don't know, and can't see people who are disciple makers. Unless we have put it as the main emphasis, hopefully, as our church go forward, to emphasize on disciple making, as a disciple making church, that this becomes visible to most of us, or all of us, that we will have a model that we can follow through. Right now, I'm not saying that none of us are disciple makers. We are, but we are not. People don't know, right? We are not that well known as disciple makers because we are not testifying or explaining to people. But we are more interested to testify about the material we use. We invite people to come for disciple making because of materials. That we are going to use this material, that materials. Material like navigators, materials, Master Life, IDMC materials. We talk a lot about materials. But we have to recognize it's not about materials. We are so involved in program, it's more of discipling people, not about the program. Sometimes we overemphasize on the program, forgetting about the people. Successful program doesn't mean successful people unless those people involved in discipleship have transformed. Experience transformation in life. Right? We will focus on the people. That the program really, the people have been discipled. It's more important. That's the reason why I seldom like to use other people's materials. It's good material. I'm not saying all these materials are bad material. They are very good materials. But the people who generated those materials have gone through a difficult process. They have gone through many years of experience until finally they became successful. And now they are, in a way, selling you their success without telling us their failure, their struggles. And we need to go through the same struggle or a similar struggle before we can really be successful in the programs that we go through. But anyway, program is secondary to people being discipled. And that's what we try to achieve. So there's no inspiring model. Right? It's not our walk, it's more our talk. See, we talk a lot, but then there's no walk. Right? So it's more important, don't just talk about discipleship. It's just not about just preaching, hearing, but it's more of being involved. Let's walk the talk. Don't just talk. I don't get just share, get excited, but not really put it into practice. Just like I said last week, it is not your intention, it's the direction that will lead towards your destination. Your intention may be good, but you don't get involved and move in that discipleship journey, you won't reach the destination of maturing in Jesus Christ. Another reason, lack of strategic patience. Now we live in a digital age. This is the age where speed is so important. This is a digital world, everything instant. Right? Now you want instant, not only instant coffee with sugar, coffee and milk. We have more than 7 flavors inside one coffee package. You want everything together so fast, instant. Everything instant. Digital, we want it fast. But we are in a hurried, fast-paced kind of lifestyle today. It's slow down. I tell people, I am waiting in a queue, do something in a queue. I'm just as guilty. You know? Slow down, queue, everything relax, slow down. No, I say, wow, read, think. Maybe do your WhatsApp, whatever it is. Don't waste that time, idle time. We try to use up all our idle time. And because we want immediate result, that's the problem. But growth takes time. Alright? Growth takes time. Remember, discipleship is a redemptive journey. It's a long journey. It's not a short journey. It's a long, long journey. It takes time for a disciple, a new Christian, to become mature. It takes time. It's a journey. So we must be patient. Unfortunately, we don't have the patience. And because we don't have the patience, it's so long, we gave up too fast. Therefore, we neglect discipleship. We are more interested in evangelism. We eventually go there, we just witness the person becomes Jesus, know Jesus Christ, a lot of persons say, that's it, we succeed already. But discipleship is different. Sometimes it's not measurable. That makes it more difficult. How do we measure? It takes a long time to be able to see the growth and then identify the person has progress. Sometimes it can take months and you don't see progress, see growth. And we don't have the patience. But even Paul says, "Now you want it's difficult." So if one of Paul says in Romans 5:4, not about discipleship, but it can apply to disciples that it's struggle is suffering. Suffering will produce perseverance. Perseverance will produce character. And character will produce hope. So you need perseverance. You want suffering sometimes, but perseverance in order to form the character. So a discipleship is to form the character. It takes perseverance to get that character out, the godly character. So because of this lack of patience, we neglect discipleship. So we are impatient. And there are other reasons, all right? Sometimes it's wrong presumption. That we say, transfer of information will lead to transformation. Transfer of information won't lead to transformation. Right? Sometimes it don't. I'm going to India this next week, next Sunday onwards. Then I'm going to have a conference for 1 week. What a statement I'm going to make to them. You can come to all the seminar you want to come. Right, you can hear all the seminar, all the messages, and you may enjoy me, you may like all that I said, but it will do you no good. It will do you no good at all, unless you apply what you learn. If you don't apply, you can attend all the seminar we want. It won't transform your life. All right? So information received, transmit information, information received will not transform your life unless you apply it. Telling is not teaching, training, or transmitting. Just tell. It's more than that. Right? Telling is not teaching, training, or transmitting. Just tell. That's why it takes time, patience to be with the disciple, with the person you are discipling, to nurture the person, to guide the person, to sometimes push the person forward. Sometimes you yourself have to hold back, slow down for the pace of the disciple. There's a lot to do. So it's time consuming. And that's the reason why we just doesn't want to be involved. It's going, in a sense, very costly. Right? It involves a lot of your time. Cost you your time. Truth doesn't change life. Truth applied change life. It must be applied. And a lot of time we teach, we involve, we program, but unfortunately, because we are not seeing the application, it discourages us. And then we give up. Because sometimes we can spend months with a disciple, nothing happens. It's just a testimony, you know. Sometimes it takes something to happen in your life that it clicks. All right, we wait for that special kairos moment that the person will automatically change. Sometimes it happens that way. It's not progressively, you see some growth. Sometimes it don't. Sometimes it go flat. All of a sudden, something happened, it strike. It just wake them up. Then you see the life transform. I know many years ago in our church, we went to Port Dickson, all right? And all of a sudden, a few of them, of the members, through that retreat time together, their life just transformed. All right? Somehow it takes that kind of a special experience to see that application of the truth already. All the while, just nothing happened. But we need patience to wait until the time they can apply the truth. When the truth is applied into our life, then the transformation comes. Then you see the beauty of the discipleship process. So I know it is difficult. I know it is something that sometimes we don't have enough patience to follow through. That sometimes we say, well, we don't have enough time. This is not our priority. My prayer is not to give you all the negative, but to encourage us to look at it differently, to make it into a priority. If now it's not a priority, we must make it into a priority, because this is the theme of our church, that we want to make it a priority, because it's valuable, it is very, very important to live the Christian life. We must grow with Jesus Christ. We have been, those of us in the Sunday school class, for the last two Sundays, we have been teaching that we must go deep into the Word of God. As a disciple, we must go deep into the Word of God, that He must be Lord of our life.